Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a missionary student studying digital evangelism, Daniel Zita. Welcome to Upward Way.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, it's my pleasure to have you. And I must say to the listeners, you know, this interview has been in the pipeline for quite some time. But on my end, it has been a challenge, but we give God thanks that today we are able to meet. So, Daniel, I want to start where I'd say from the beginning. Where and when did your faith journey begin?
You know, I mean, I grew up Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist Christian. But, you know, the time when you realize that religion and faith are two different things, or they're connected, but, you know, your personal faith, I would say that would have begun at the, I'm 18 years old now, that would have begun at the age of 15 or 16, on a mission trip, actually. Of course, God has been working on me since then and before then, but that's when it kind of took off, you know?
Very simple and succinct. So, as you say, you know, you're like 18 at the time of recording. So let's say two and a half years ago. So I guess I'd ask this question, you know, when God speaks to us, because he speaks to each of us, how would you say, you know, that God often speak to you? That is, you know, through what medium method does he utilize when he's communicating to you?
Well, there are several. I know there are several ways that God speaks. And you know, depending on the person or the how strong your relationship with God is, you know, it may vary. For me, I would say, you know, I've had a firm foundation in Scripture since I was born. So knowing that, when faith came into play, I already had a huge basis on what God already wanted. You know, we know there are certain things which God asks us, and we're not exactly sure, but we can always go back to the Bible, which will show us. Of course, through prayer, I've been able to connect with God through prayer. Also, of course, friends and family, but I know that there are times, you know, when I'm further away from God, it's so much harder, even with all the knowledge from the Bible, because, you know, it's harder for you to hear the Holy Spirit when you're not listening, you know. But you know, when I'm receptive, it's strong. God speaks very strongly through the Spirit, and of course that is supported by Scripture.
Yes, I guess I'm gonna jump into this part, as you say, you know, mostly through Scripture. So you have been on mission trips, and even before we started the recording, you did share one of your plans to even take a mission trip into Japan. So what is it that sparked that interest in doing missionary work? And then the follow-up question is, you know, why digital evangelism? So first, you know, what was it that sparked that interest in missionary work to begin with?
Well, so for the longest time, I had amazing, you know, I have an amazing family. We would attend church weekly, you know, and at some point, I would say around the age of 15 or so, it got to the point where, of course, I would never consider leaving church. I knew there was so much evidence that my faith was, you know, this was something I could trust. However, there's a difference between knowing that this is the true faith and then seeing what is the purpose, right? And I was looking for that purpose. And for the longest time, my family, my dad was like, well, we have to go on a mission trip. We're going to go on a mission trip. He does a lot of literature ministries work in Canada. He's the director there. And my mom's really involved in children's ministries, and well, was, and now she's doing Stuff for Hope Channel, but they were saying at the time, let's go on a mission trip, but we kind of put it off. It was expensive. At some point though, he's like, let's go. So we headed off to Mexico, right? Building churches, connecting with the people. But that's when I started realizing there is a purpose, this is the purpose to the Christian walk in general. As humans, we have been given two main purposes. Number one is the creation mandate, which is, go be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the earth. The second one is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, And while I was, building churches, while we were in these different surroundings, I started realizing this is my calling. There's no such thing as I tried ministry and it's not for me. Ministry is for everyone. Whether that looks different for each person, is a different story. So that sparked the interest. Now, there were three things. That first mission trip, right? Also, there's these youth retreats. So if you, I'm not sure if you're familiar with GYC, but I hadn't gone to GYC yet, but there's like a miniature thing. It's not under GYC. It's just some youth who get together. They run a retreat, and it's called AYM, Adventist Youth on a Mission. And I attended that after the mission trip, and that opened my eyes even more because I always saw adults living out their Christian walk, but it's like all the youth were so, I was just like, where, at what point do the youth ever become serious, right? And there, that's when I saw people my own age who truly had a walk in the love for God, where we went out into the community, we did stuff for people, not just humanitarian things, but things that actually we actually opened the Bible, right? And that was, at that point, I was like, this is my purpose in life. I had always had an interest in Japan. I had been learning the language since 2019, just for the fun of it. I didn't, I just found it interesting. And then now I started realizing, hold on, there might be something to this. And I read a book, one of the best books I've ever read, The Heavenly Man, by Paul Hathaway, and talking about the underground churches in China, right? And at that point, I was like, man, there are people around the world praying for us, in first world countries, lukewarm countries, right? And they're the ones who we should be praying for, So that sparked my idea for missions. And of course, I had a chance to go on a mission trip to Japan with Glow International, and that further confirmed my calling to Japan specifically. There's just, there's so much work there. So I was like, I'm going to dedicate my life to full-time missions there. But then again, I'm in university and, what do I study? Why digital evangelism, media production, my dad's into the literature evangelism. But I've started seeing the huge power of media. And I know, of course, it can be shut down. If the government wants to shut it down, they probably could. But while it's open, while everyone's, on there, I believe that there's ways to reach people, mass, with the combination of literature, of course. After going to Japan, I realized a lot of people are paper-based. It's a very paper-based society. So, and they treat literature with respect. But yeah, I think that I have many ideas of, most might fail, but it would be interesting to try out. In the media world, reaching people through that.
And what do you say? It's really good, because of course you say free people focus on the digital aspect, as you say, it can be shut down. But of course, it comes in different facets. You just alluded to the idea of print media. So you have t-shirts, you have caps, you have so many different variables to that. So it's not just the audio visual aspect. So that is good. And I think what I pulled from what you said, you mentioned GYC, and for those who are not familiar, that's Generation Youth for Christ, and you did explain the youth arm that is there. So from that, as a youngster, you can actually see that this idea of faith, it's not something fictitious, but it's actually real. And I'm happy, I'm thrilled that as a youngster, not yet 20, you have already developed not just a passion, but a personal relationship with Christ. My next question is, and this is something people would ask, you know, isn't it difficult being a Christian sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, life, I think life in general is not easy, but you pick, if you're looking at the earthly state, would I rather have it easy here on earth, or would I rather have it easy in eternity? And it, overall, if you're if we're looking at maybe physical or you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't necessarily be struggling. I wouldn't necessarily, if I didn't know there was a God, it wouldn't, you know, fighting against evil, all that stuff, you know, I would have it hard in the sense that I would have no moral obligation, but it'd be worse in that I have no one on my side to help me through it, right? And seeing throughout the world people who, you know, they lose loved ones, they themselves are realizing there's no purpose to life. And at that point, it's like, man, how can you live a happy life without being a Christian? And you know, I like thinking a lot. So I remember I was 10 years old or so, and I started thinking, I wonder how life would be like if I was maybe an atheist, right? And I started deeply thinking about it, and I came to the conclusion the only logical thing to do would be to end my life, right? Because if my birth is a mistake, death is a mistake, everything in between is a mistake. What's the point? So that, I guess, number one purpose. But also, now Christianity, now your purpose is not only you have a purpose to live, but you now have a purpose to help others find this, right? And it's always great when you have good news for people, the gospel says, because then you know this is not the destination here. A destination is our destination is heaven. We want to bring as many people as we possibly can. So yes, it's difficult, because we are fighting against you know, beings that are way more powerful than us. But then again, all you have to do, you know, faith can be difficult, faith can be difficult. But the alternative is so much more difficult, you know?
You're right. Having faith, you find that there is so much support when life becomes quite challenging. This other one, also, I guess even as a youth, it might even be more practical or relevant to you. What do you say would be some of the greatest challenges you face in maintaining your faith? And then, you know, maybe how have you been able to remain anchored? I know you shared earlier about, you know, reading scripture, but maybe what other support have you found to cause you to remain anchored as you face challenges in your life?
I believe some of the greatest challenges, especially, I can't speak for previous generations, but for this generation, is there's a lot of distractions, right? And it's easy to step back and look. Well, at times when we step back and look at the distractions and put into perspective, we're like, yeah, it means nothing. But being surrounded by it on this level, and everything is continually trying to get your attention. I believe that's one thing. Whether it's, you know, it could be social media, it could just be like friends in general. You know, there's nothing wrong with friends, but if they're bringing you away from God, you know that there's so many things. And once you get involved, mentally and emotionally, then it's so true. I never used to believe it, but it's so true. The things of God quickly become more and more dim. To the point where it's something you don't really think about. If you do, you're like, you know, it's kind of just out there in the distance. And one of the hardest challenges is getting back to that. Of course, it's a challenging not to leave that because there's so many distractions, but getting back from the distractions to a strong relationship with God can be a challenge. And for me, I found that happens when my devotional life plummets, when I do not spend time. And when I'm not engaged in mission work, or reaching out, right? So when I'm not helping someone. So that's both things. You eliminate the purpose, right? And now it's so easy to fall into whatever else. So fighting that is a difficult, is a challenge, but I have found it's simply I the nice thing, and I know not maybe not everyone has this, but nice thing is I know there is a better, I always have in mind there is a better state of being, which I was in before, or I already know about it, right? So I can always know, I can revert back to that. And it's not like I'm starting from scratch and I don't even know there's something better, you know? So all it is really time, spending time with God without distractions. And time is the key, because it's, you know, there's quantity, but there's quality. And being able to fully put and invest your whole mind into things of God, that is something that is going to, it's just the truth, is going to bring you closer to God, right? And of course, service, mission work to the those around you, even, you know, that itself will not only engage me more, but will connect me closer to the purpose God has for me.
I love the 2 points you highlight. One has to do with spending time with God, as you say, your devotional life. And that is something we often take for granted. It's like someone say, okay, yeah, you know, I go to church, so I listen to sermons, so, you know, I will still be focused. But it couldn't be more unreal or unrealistic, because even for me, myself, you know, I've looked at times when I know I'm a Christian and I would daily, you know, read it, I would listen to music, but if I'm not spending quality time with, you know, meditating God's word, reading devotion, it's like you get to a point where you realize there's this emptiness. You're just going through the motion. And so while you can survive, you know, you won't do too well. So it's important. And then the second point you say, sharing. I remember even at during my school days, I didn't, especially at university, I didn't have enough time to study. Primarily because I work part-time and of course sometimes distractions, but because I was kind enough many times to help persons when they would ask me, you know, could you explain this? Sometimes I had no idea, but because someone asked and I was willing to help, it forced me to actually study. And that was how I was able to do well enough so that, you know, I could actually pass my courses. So spending time with God and sharing is so critical. So this question is a bit of a light one. You know, you come across as someone who's very confident, you know, fearless. So, what would you say would surprise most persons about you?
That's a good question. I would say, yeah, actually, I would say number one that, well, yeah. I think number one that I want to do mission work in Japan. I don't know why, but people get very surprised from that. They're just like, okay. That's one of them. I'm not sure if it's because they're surprised that I want to do mission work, or if they're surprised that it's Japan specifically. I don't know. They're always like, why there? And I'm like, why not there? I think another thing, maybe if people just met me, they might be surprised that I'm like a committed and responsible individual in general, right? And that there are times when I can be serious, because I'm usually quite not flamboyant, but I'm an upbeat person, but there I definitely, I have my goals, and there are times when you have to settle down and fully aim for them. But yeah, I think definitely the mission work and my personality tied to that. I'm not really sure, but that's just my thoughts.
I guess you're saying, you know, a person may not take you seriously at times. Yeah, when you're phlegmatic and, as you say, flamboyant, it can come across as if, hey, this person isn't serious. But God knows your heart. You know your own heart.
Yeah,
So,
God's working on me.
yeah. So this one now, I won't throw too many more questions at you, but this one speaks to the fact, you know, especially for you contemplating, you know, missionary work. So, in a conversation of someone who has never heard about God, what would you tell him or her about God from your own experience? Or simply put, who is God for Daniel?
I've actually just had a conversation like this with someone, one of my coworkers, a couple of days ago. And it really depends how much time I have, but I always start with God is love. But then I like to flesh out, a definition, what love really means, right? Love is not necessarily all accepting or all condoning. Love is not the absence of pain. Love is free choice. Love is sacrifice, all those things, right? And that's because that is one of the, if not the only thing in the Bible that is the definition of God, right? Not just a characteristic or attribute. So that's where I start. But for me personally, God is also, to me, God is purpose, right? There's purpose, there is reason to live, and there's ultimately the Christian walk. It's one that has support whether you are surrounded by Christians or not, right? You can know that there are people. Prayer surpasses all boundaries, all fences. So I know I have. It's a really great feeling just landing in another country and going to a church, and you're like, wow, we're just we're family, right? So there, it's definitely community, but number one, God is love. Number two, God is purpose, and of course, there's community, there's support from that. That's what I would say. But I definitely like to start with, depending on the person, going through, depending on what their needs are, going through salvation, going through, kind of who God is, because there's no reason for me to want to serve a God if I don't know who he is.
Yeah, brilliant. And as you say, it's not about having, okay, this is going to be the response, but it depends on the individual and, as you say, time. And I guess, too, you could add if they are really sincere in wanting to know about God. So, one of the final two questions I would ask, is what is the key to maintaining balance in your life? And oftentimes people think about balance as okay, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But for me, it's not really about that. When you are faced with disappointments, let's say you are faced with rejection, distress, or discouragement, how do you still say, despite what I've faced, God has my best interest at heart. So that is the kind of balance, how do you remain centered? I mean, it's kind of similar to a previous question I asked, but in this case, when life gets really challenging and you think, oh, why is this happening? How do you still say, I will hold on to my faith?
Well, number one, I guess I would say, in the light of success and in the Christian walk and in faith, success is not defined by success is not necessarily defined, especially in terms of faith. Success is not defined by results, although that's great, and often there are results. Success is defined by obedience to God. And I would say this came into play. I did canvassing, corporate work, door to door, for a summer, and once my mindset switched to, God has asked me to be here to do this work. Regardless if I see the result, regardless if I see these people ever being converted or not, that's not something I have power over. Regardless of how many rejections I get, that's not something I have power over. I leave that to God. Success is defined by, have I actually done everything God has wanted me to do, and have I fulfilled that? Now, when it comes to dealing with challenges, I think, many people, they like to portray the idea that all you need to know about God is, God is love. It's just Jesus, right? And that's awesome. And that's really necessary. However, when you begin to go through challenging situations, you can only truly love someone, the more you know about them, the more you can love them deeply, right? I can sort of love a God that I don't know much about, but that's not going to be fully true love, right? And that's why I love spending time in the Bible, because I love spending time in the Bible because now you have a basis, you have answers to everything that comes, right? For example, like 4 days ago, I lost a good friend of mine, car crash accident. He was like 19, and I know some people would question God, they would doubt God, they might leave God, and that's not a thought that ever went through my mind. Of course, it's a very, very sad thing, but not I know, number one, there is a resurrection. Number two, there is hope. Number three, now this is a chance for me to become even more serious, and this is also a call for me to now have a response and try to tell as many people as I possibly can, because what's worse than dying with God is dying without God. And there are so many people out there who are dying every second, and they have never even heard about God. So that's, there's always some a response I can have, because not only can we have, God responds to us, we see what he says in scripture, but now we can also have a response. We can actually go and do something. Not only will that help in healing, but it ultimately keeps giving us that purpose.
Well, first things, my condolences to you on the loss of your friend. And I do hope that over time, God will help you with the healing process. I suppose, well, I was going to throw a question, but I will forego that. Let me just say thanks, Daniel, for taking the time out to share with us your story today. For my listeners, we have been speaking to Daniel Zita. He's a missionary. Student. So while he's studying, he's doing missionary work. He's at Southern Adventist University, studying digital evangelism. So, Daniel, as is customary on the Upward Way podcast, is there any parting words you'd like to share with our listeners before you go?
Yeah, and it's very simple. It's not anything, it might be something that is heard often. But I want to encourage everyone to find opportunities to, very simply put, be a missionary for God wherever you are. And I know, I believe there's a huge need around the world. In fact, that's in my mind that, that's the priority. But training happens now, and how can there might be a lot of people who may desire to go overseas somewhere, and I am definitely praying that that becomes a reality. However, while you're waiting, while you're aiming for that, work where you are, reach out to people around you. There are so many opportunities if we simply open our eyes to reach out, and it's not difficult. Be connected with God and connect others with God.
Wonderful. Connect with God and connect others with God. You've been in tune to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll hopefully have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. You're invited to subscribe to weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Loud Voice, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podcast Guru apps. Of course, you're welcome to visit the Upward Way Facebook page, click like, and leave a comment. And Upward Way is also now on YouTube, so you can go there and check that out. But until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.